You know, when they passed the Civil Rights Act, they did it because it was the right thing to do. Whenever you have this issue that Greg brings up in one community, irregardless of skin color, it's a travesty.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. It's just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Alright. Sorry, I'm just...
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, your host, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia, as you just heard. That was something I don't normally do. I don't normally play full-blown songs for the show, but I actually love that song. I think it's a very fun song. And in case you haven't seen the movie, and I'm going to misquote it, it's from Llewellyn or Llewyn Davis, Llewyn Davis, Inside Llewyn Davis, by the Coen brothers. A very interesting film. And especially it's about a musician in the 60s who does a lot of folk music, and he's very good. But it made me understand the life of a comic even more than I currently do, because he couldn't get a gig, and then there were shitty things and people died around him, and it was interesting. But you are listening to Radio Irregardless. You are not watching TV. You're not watching Wednesday night programming. You are, in fact, listening to the internet radio talk show that I have come to love and enjoy, and hopefully you as well. So a lot of things have been happening the week. We started our weekly show. Last week was our first show of the new year. It was Fan Appreciation Show, and then we're doing shows every week, which is going to be very interesting because next week I'm going for a colonoscopy. So I'm doing the show I won't be doing it live from the colonoscopy, which would be really, really interesting. But I get it done that Wednesday, and then I'm broadcasting because I had to turn down a gig for the show. So I just want you guys to know that I'm very dedicated to what I do here, and you are listening to Radio Irregardless with me, Mark Scalia. This is your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. And to leave a question or comment for Radio Irregardless, you can email us or me or them or everyone at radioirregardless@gmail.com. Or if you don't feel like typing, you just want to blurt it out quickly, you can call the hotline. That's 978-219-9294. And today, being Wednesday, January 22nd, and the name of the show is Time of the Season. And it's in that mid-season, that doldrums, where I always got the seasonal thing where I don't care how much it costs. I just want to get in a plane. I want to get the hell out of Dodge. It's just, and the snow is just getting to me. But I've learned that it's not so much the weather. And this is a recent phenomenon. In the Blizzard of 78, it's coming up. Not coming up, but the anniversary of it is coming up next month, only in a couple weeks. And ever since the Blizzard of 78, everybody, as soon as weather comes in, people lose their minds. Matter of fact, one of my guests actually did this very interesting video, and I'll let him tell you all about that later. But it's insane how insane weather people have become. This is a new thing, started last year. They're naming storms now, winter storms, not just hurricanes, not just tornadoes, not just tropical storms, things like that. They are now naming winter snows. And the reason, because I'm like, why would anyone name a storm? They name the storm to raise awareness For what? It's fucking weather. It attaches a name and makes it easier to follow the weather system's progress. You're weather people. All you do is look at maps. If you can't figure out one storm for another, you think putting a little digital tag on it's going to make him remember? A storm with a name takes on personality all its own, which adds to the awareness. Now we're personalizing, we're anthropomorphizing weather, which is ridiculous. In today's social media world, the name makes it a much easier to reference in communication. Now storms have their own Facebook following. Katrina, that's bullshit. And a name storm is easy to remember and refer to it in the future. And we've all had that. I think a few years ago, there was the no name snow storm. But this happened last year, the 2013 season. The storms were named after, and they go with Greek and Roman, I think, gods or things. They had Athena. Athena's Greek goddess of wisdom, courage, inspiration, justice, mathematics, and all wonderful things. Jello? Yeah. Brutus, a Roman senator best known for the assassination of Julius Caesar. Caesar, the title used by the Roman and Byzantine emperors. Draco, the first legislator of Athens in ancient Greece. Lucid, a mathematician of ancient Greece, father of geometry. Friar, Norse god, associated with fair weather. That's a kick in the ass, isn't it? Gandalf, character from the 1896 fantasy novel about a pseudo-medieval countryside. Or Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. That would have been easier just to do it. Helen, of course, Helen of Troy. Iago, enemy of Othello, for those of you in the Shakespeare world. Jove, the English name for Jupiter. I got to move the microphone. Khan! The Mongolian conqueror and emperor of the Mongol Empire. Luna, Magnus, Nemo, an actual name, Nemo. Yeah, everybody finding Nemo. But it was a Greek boy's name meaning from the valley. And it actually means nobody in Latin. There's a little putting that in your pipe and smoke it. Orko, Plato, Rocky, a single mountain of the Rockies. Out of all the Rockies, you picked one? Fuck. Saturn, Roman god of time, named after the planet. Triton, Yuko, a Finnish mythology, the god of sky and weather. Virgil, Waldo, Xerxes, 300 fans will know that. Yogi, which is a person who does yoga, or a bear that hangs around with Boo Boo. Zeus, and Zeus is the father of all the Greek gods. That was last year. This year, we're already up the storm just passed. It's Janus, or Janus. Of course, you might know Janus from Judge Dredd. The Janus Project, anyway. But there was Atlas, Boreas, Cleon, Dion, really, Dion. Short for Dionysus, the Greek god of wine, winemaking. Electra, Falco, don't turn around. Gemini, Hercules, Ion, of course, Janus, Kronos, father of Zeus. Leon, which is Leon, which in Greek means lion. Maximus, for the greatest. Nika, Orion, Pax, Quintus, Rex, Seneca. Oh, that's it. Titan, Ulysses, Vulcan, Wily, Xena. Yes, Xena. In Yona. This is interesting. A word used in ancient India to designate a Greek person. The Greek letter epsilon looks like a Y, but it's an ancestor of the English letter U. The letter Y, this is boring me, and I'm reading it. And then, of course, the last one, Zephyr, the Greek god of west wind. So naming storms is a very strange thing, which literally has only started happening in the past couple of years. But we just had a snowstorm here in the New England area. And the last time we got snow, my area, they considered that jackpot. They kept saying jackpot, which pissed me off even more because I had to shovel it. And now this time the snow hit mostly down close to the Cape. But this was some of the weather reporting.
So here you can see what we're talking about. As you go to the west, you kind of run out of the snow, but we still have the band from southern Connecticut right on up through I-95 and points south and east. And we widen out, and it's still happening down around Long Island and coastal New Jersey as well. So as we go through the overnight, that's what we see. Boston on the edge of the significant snow, so it keeps accumulating, especially there south and east, but only a little more as you go north and west, and still along the south shore on the Cape into tomorrow morning, and then ending there last during the course of tomorrow afternoon. afternoon. In terms of the amounts that I'm expecting, 6 to 12 inches for Boston, but once you get north and west of 128, quickly drop off to 2 to 5. You get above Route 2, you're down to nothing or an inch or two of fluff, but you've got that 12-plus area along the South Shore, and then 6 to 12 on the Cape and the islands.
Now, you can hear a little bit of his voice. He kind of gets a little bit of a boner, little blood flowing when he starts talking about the 12 inches. The weather people getting a little crazy. And this was the national forecast of the storm we had 2 weeks ago.
The storm is still painting the East Coast white. Watch that clock. The storm will pull away early Wednesday morning. Behind it, though, incredible cold and intense winds. A blizzard warning for the Cape in Massachusetts, where many are still rebuilding after that last winter storm just weeks ago.
I'm going to pull them all up, tie them up, and hope Mother Nature doesn't take them again.
We now have a state of emergency for New York, New Jersey, and Tennessee.
See, they panic for no fucking reason. It's snow, people. It's fucking snow. And this is the worst. This was a Baltimore fucking weatherman. I want you to listen to this. This is an actual broadcast.
Oh, boy. 14 to 22 inches of snow. Oh, boy. Well, I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Jim Kosick. Our paralyzing, crippling, record-breaking storm comes today! Road closures, flight cancellations in the hundreds, power outages by the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands? Yes. And problem number one to start it all today, 35 degrees. So when the snow comes in, kicks temperatures down sub-freezing, so what initially melted turns to black ice. That's only one problem. Problem number two, 14 to 22 inches of snow! Winding down Saturday afternoon. Tertiary problem? Yeah, I've been reading the dictionary. Blowing and drifting! Oh, 3, 4, 5 feet drifts! So you shovel, drifts back over, shovel, drifts, shovel. Ah. Could I get a one-way ticket to New Orleans? Sun comes back Sunday, Monday. Listen, I love crab cakes, but we could replace it with jambalaya. More snow showers later Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Jim Kosick. Oh, boy.
That was a real fucking broadcast. Weather people are losing their fucking minds. That's what gives me so much anxiety. I don't even mind the snow. I lived in New England or the Northeast most of my life. I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with weather people. So, if I see a weather person at all, for no reason, especially this bipolar fuck out of D.C., I am probably going to kill him. So, being that said, enjoy the season, people. Just don't watch the news. We can just listen to the radio like we used to. It was so much easier. So much easier. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of my rant, and I've ranted a little too long. And with me, I've got two amazing comedians coming up, and we're going to play some games. We're going to play the You Bored Me game, which you guys, I'll explain the rules of that, adding insult to injury, because we have two amazingly funny comics who can think on their feet, and comics are known for insulting people comedically. So we're going to do that. And of course, we're bringing back, if you can't say something nice, where I play an insult, and you have to figure out who said it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are currently listening to Radio Irregardless, and we will be back after these brief commercials.
I mean, there I was, just trolling through the internet, and all of a sudden this leaf pops up. Turns out it's my cousin. Found out all the things she likes, you know, where she lives. It was actually really, really cool. And that's when I discovered Ancestry.com.
Visit Ancestry.com and discover the world's largest online resource. You don't have to know what you're looking for. You just have to start looking.
Hi, this is John M. Keating, and you're listening to Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. So now you know. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you are back with me, Mark Scalia, listening to Radio Irregardless, and joining me, two amazingly funny comedians who not just make people laugh in the Northeast area, they actually travel nationally. And as always, I introduce alphabetically. So joining me via Skype is Ryan Gartley and Mike Katrobis. Mike, yeah, yes. And Ryan, say hello.
Yay!
After that rant. And before we get into too much and we'll get to promos and things like that, Mike, you were the gentleman I spoke of earlier who made the quick video about the weather. And I think you can – and Mike, where do you – you're out of the Northeast, right? No.
Yeah, I'm Nashua, New Hampshire.
You're in Nashua. And Ryan, you live in – you just moved, right? You bought a place?
Yeah, I moved a mile and a half from the old one.
Okay. So. So, but you're in New Hampshire as well. So yes. you're both dealing with the snow. And Mike, you had did that video about how people are panicking, or they make you panic. Would you explain that video to our listeners?
You know, if you guys seen the one out there of that guy that's like holding his own phone, he's going, "I got to get the milk and bread. I got to get the milk and bread." He's freaking out. So I go, "All right, I got to do something similar." So I did one of me freaking out, going, "Oh my God, how am I going to make it? I got to go get milk and bread." So,
and that's all from the blizzard of 78.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's and no other place did they freak out more than in New England, especially in Massachusetts, because of the blizzard of 78, when people went and they had to ransack stores and things. We live in a different society than we did 30 years ago. You can call somebody now, and it's snow. It's fucking snow.
Yeah, it really is. It's pathetic watching people work.
Joining me, my two wonderful New Hampshire natives to travel, Ryan Gartley and Mike Katrobis. And as always, as I said, we'll start alphabetically. Ryan, you are not a stranger to the show. You have been on before, but please introduce yourself to the lovely listeners. Six of them.
Yes.
No, we got a lot of people. Plus, we got people listening through my website, and they never show up on the Mixlr thing. It's only the people who have low self-esteem issues, and they have to go in and type. That's what they got to do. And I'm typing.
Yes. Poor bastards.
Poor bastards. So tell the listening audience who you are and what you do and all that.
Ryan Gartley, part-time comedian. I've been doing it now about 15 years. So stay in school or you'll end up on Mark's show.
Well, ironically, last week we had Kim Santos, who always has been on. She's been like a fan of the show. And she actually goes to a BU. She teaches there. So I don't want to hear any of that shit. Because it's a fallacy. And speaking of school, you're a bright young man. You've been doing some things.
Yes, I just finished an MBA that's worth about $1.25 if I'm looking at the right piece of paper.
Gross.
Well, half our listeners have GEDs, so they beat you. So you were in the show when we were still kind of beta testing the show, you were one of the guests. You were with Bob Carney as well, and I've tried to get you on, but because you were going to school for all that, oh my God, you know what's weird? They list you, if you do a Google search of your name, your address and phone number is right there.
Oh, really?
Do you live in Raymond, New Hampshire?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is your street named after a person?
Are you looking in my window?
No. I just typed your name in for the RyanGartley.com, and I just put in, and it's like, oh, Ryan Gartley, he's here, and your phone number. I'm telling you, fucking Big Brother's everywhere.
Let me go put some pants on for the second half of this.
Just in case our listeners.
In case Google Maps gets improved.
Super sophisticated satellites. So yes, you've been on the show before as a comic, and oh my God, your high school picture's here too. That's fucked up. and your likes, wow! Google is really investing some cash. But you and I have worked together a bunch of different times. We told the first story of how we met, and that's an old story, and nobody wants to hear that again. But I'm glad that you're done with school. I'm glad you got your little diploma thing right there, and you can now be on the show again. But is there anything else that you'd like to tell a listening audience before we kind of go into a little bit more and have Mike talk for a little bit?
No, I think everyone's going to hear well enough out of me.
Got nothing.
I got kind of like the rest of my act. I got nothing.
I got nothing. No, but you're very, very funny. You're a great. I love your act, man. I love your act, and I loved it the first time when I saw Rob Steen do it. I'm teasing you.
He got it from Johnny Joyce.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't badmouth Double J on this show. Yeah, because I got a reputation.
I am sorry, SpongeBob, that I brought it up.
That's all right, Patrick. It's all right. So, and on the other side of the Skype line is a wonderful friend, Mike Katrobis. And Mike, we've actually worked together for a bunch of years as well. And your website is MikeKComic.com, correct?
That's the one. Yes,
that's
sir.
It. And you are now, I put you in the whole database. And right now you're probably being stalked again. And let's see. Yes. For you, it's got your email address at Yahoo, your home phone, and your mobile phone.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'm public anyways. You can find anything of me because I just don't. I'm hoping people call me because I'm really lonely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, you're on IMDb as well. Look at this.
Yes, because of the wonderful Steve Katzo show, of course.
That's right. Tell us about that. Tell us all about that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a local guy that's trying to do his own night, talk show format. You know, he brings on like an actor or a radio person for a first guest. Then he has a comedian and a musical guest, just like any talk show format. He runs it out of Arlington. And this guy's such a go-getter. He's got it on about 15 million homes all over the world, which you're going to be a guest on it in April.
Yes, I am. I'm actually looking forward to it. And I was like, how come I haven't been on that show longer? And apparently it's been warming up and now it's ready for me, I guess.
Well, no, now PBS might be picking it up.
Well,
So I don't know if you're going to call that a real channel, but it's better than the cable access channels we're on right now.
Yeah, well, I did a cable access thing, and then it went to PBS, and I still haven't gotten paid for any of it. That's a different story. But no, if it's on PBS, it's a bunch of different channels. I mean, if he's not getting paid for it now, he won't experience anything different.
Right, yeah, right. No change there. So he's good.
Yeah. So, but and I've watched some of the clips. A lot of my guests have been on the show, and I've actually used their clips to kind of promote them and things like that. But I haven't done the clip thing in a little bit. But no offense, because I didn't download your clips. I was too busy writing my fucking 700 word monologue tonight.
No worries, right?
So you got to be busy. So Mike, tell the listening audience more about you. Not only now, what is your role with the Steve Katzo show?
Well, you know what? I started as a guest. I went on to start booking the comedians as the comedy producer. Then I went up to associate producer, and now I'm the supervising producer, which means I yell at everybody that works there.
And do you have to put in money?
Oh, no. I just go early and stay late and yell at everybody. That's my job.
So would you go with talent coordinator? Would that be your secondary title?
No, because actually, you know what? We have a producer that deals with the first guest. We have a producer that deals with the comedian, and we have one for the musical guest. So I kind of coordinate the rest of things that are going on.
And is that stevekatzos.com? Is that
yes, it is.
And you can look at his shows. Are his shows online as well?
They're online, and because every time he streams it online, it actually stays on either Ustream or Livestream, one of those stream places.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
You should actually get him on your show the week before you're on. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll do a little cross promotion. Yeah, right. I'm getting my colonoscopy next week, and then I'm going to get a prostate exam the week after. Only Wednesday health exams. That's what I've scheduled now. And
you know what? I've had them both done, man. Good luck with that. Have a good time.
Simultaneously?
Yeah. Yes, actually, there was a lot going on back there. Thankfully, I was out cold. I woke up sore.
Okay, that's uncomfortable conversation.
Yep. Good luck with that, buddy. When you were saying it, I'm just like, oh, been there, man. It's not a good time.
Well, the colonoscopy I've had, and I lost my parents young, and because they both had intestinal issues, I had to actually go at 35. So this is not my first rodeo, baby.
All right, so you're ready. All right, yeah, no worries. Then. It's the
I'm like greased up deaf guy. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to have a good day. Yeah.
Don't forget to join in, America. There we go. And I'm not making fun of the deaf. And if I did, fuck them. They can't hear me. All right. Now,
listening.
We're not simulcasting in Spanish, and I'm not typing anything else. So I've looked at the comments, and we don't have a lot, which is good so far. Because usually by now, my sister would tell me my niece is up, and I have to tell her to go to bed, which whatever. Mary, if you're awake, go to bed. Now, let's save that up. So I wanted to ask you guys this. Because we have two very like Mike, you work constantly. You're in the Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA Guild, SAG-AFTRA Guild. You're doing a lot of work. You're doing things for Katsos, and you're pretty active all the way around. You're DJing and you do all this other stuff. And Ryan is, by his own admittance, part time, still really working. And I'd love to hear the difference in that. I mean, Mike, first of all, where are you playing? Where are you gigging mostly?
I mean, mostly New England. I stick around here. That's, you know, home base. But I've actually been booking some things. I got some gigs coming up in Florida. I'm heading to L.A. for a week. So I'm trying to get out there more. But I'm mostly based in New England.
Nice. And as far as the acting thing goes, how's that? How is that keying in? Anything you want to kind of brag about that?
You know, hey, you've been on set with me. So it's not it's I'd like it to be more. But, you know, the extra work during the week pays the bills and helps get some extra money and good connections. I've actually done some commercials with speaking roles, but it's hard. Every one of my jobs I do, it's hard to succeed in. So I do 50 of them, so I get paid.
You're Jamaican.
Right?
Now, as opposed to doing 15 jobs, we have Ryan, who basically has two, because that's all he needs. He's got the regular 9-to-5 thing, and then the comedy on the weekends. Because you get the whole, and you just had a second child, second boy?
Second boy.
And the young boy's name is?
First boy is Samuel, second boy is Jackson.
Yeah,
that was unintentional.
When I say Samuel Jackson.
Great, right?
I can't wait for them to be old enough to yell at in the backyard.
Sam Jackson, what the fuck do you mean? I have had it. Just going to do it. Oh, wait a minute. I think I got that clip. I do. I'm just going to get to it. I don't have it. I thought I did, and I don't.
Yeah, so Mike has all the freedom in the world to go do all these amazing gigs and act and be funny and write. And I get health insurance and a retirement plan.
You're right.
You know, it's a fair trade. I'll take it.
Enough is enough.
Sam Jackson. So yeah, and the MBA is for you're in work. And is there any way that you can translate that on stage? Any jokes about that besides the GED, which I gave you?
Well, yeah, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm writing constantly.
It's amazing because the second time that I went to school, because there was a 13-year break in between just because I didn't think I could do it again. it's amazing. You go in and it is so much easier the second time around because you know where the keg parties are.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you know you don't have a chance with that girl in the corner. So you know what? You study. You get your shit done. You move on.
So how long did it take you to get the MBA?
It was 2.5-3 years, I think.
Wow.
And just, it's done. And now I don't know what to do with myself. It's that extra night per week I've got off to, you know.
To be on the show.
Sit, listen to Radio Air Regardless.
That's it. And speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Air Regardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And you are listening to Ryan Gartley and Mike Controbus. And when we come back, we're going to be playing a bunch of, actually, I never change it. We're going to be playing a couple games, but I will explain those. On our return, you are listening to Radio Irregardless.
On this episode of Real Celebrity Rumors, the Flintstones. They were the modern Stone Age family that we loved. But after the show's cancellation, things slowly went extinct. The show first aired on September 30th, 1960, but was cancelled 6 years later, due to the one-a-day vitamin scandal. More difficulties came when Fred's dog died by choking on a brontosaurus bone. A police autopsy revealed later it was actually from an apatosaurus. Fred dropped into a depression, which put pressure on his marriage. In April 1987, Wilma filed for divorce. Later that year, she wrote a tell-all book, Yabba Dabba Do's and Do Nots, My Life as a Flintstone. Fred now lives alone in Bedrock, working at his old job in construction, far away from the bright lights. And on the next Real Celebrity Rumors, the Powerpuff Girls, Sugar, Spice, and Not Everything Nice.
Listen to Radio Irregardless. Irregardless is even a word, which means this is even a show, which means you are just in the black hole of nothingness. What are you doing? Wake up. Look around you, people. Stop listening to this program. It's not giving you any advantages in the world, except maybe a few laughs. Enjoy.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And we're back. And you're back at Radio Air Regardless, and that was a good friend of mine, Dave Decker, who never said his name during the promo, so I'm going to have to recut that together because Dave is very funny, and I want you guys to know more about Dave.
I thought that was James Woods.
Was it James Woods? Did it sound like James Woods?
It sounded like he was doing a scene from Digstown.
Do whatever you got to do. Cut my throat. Slit my throat. I'll give you $2 million right now. And the name of the guy who owned Digstown? Bruce Dern. That's
sounds like Rooster.
Bruce Dern. Rawr, I go in the whole town. Speaking of dumb, stupid stuff that's stuck inside our heads, we're gonna play You Bored Me. Yes. Because when I was a kid, I played a lot of board games because I was bored. I was told I was bored and I had to play games. But there is a lot of games, that a lot of board games that we've played. A lot of people don't know how to play in, you know, this day of age of electronic this and app that. We're going to see if our two world-renowned, traveling, experienced, worldly comics know their games. There are five games that we're going to go through. And since we started with Ryan for the introductions, we start with Mike. Now, there's only five. So these are all part of the scorekeeping thing. Because after we play this, we're going to play Adding Insult to Injury, where the points, you guessed it, can really add up. So, Mike, I'm going to read the rules of a game, and you must guess.
Okay.
Once I'm finished with the rules, if you do not have a guess, I'm going to say guess, and you say, I'm going to 3 seconds. And if you do not guess, then your opponent, which this would, in this case would be Ryan, has a chance to steal.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready, Mike?
Ready to go.
This is a group of strategy board games for two players, which involve diagonal moves of uniform game pieces and a mandatory capture by jumping over an opponent's piece.
Checkers.
Checkers it is. That's one for Mike. Yes, look at that. See how easy it is to play. Ryan, did you know that? Did you know it was checkers?
I was going to guess the restaurant. The
what?
The restaurant.
Checkers, come on.
The restaurant. Oh, I get it. I don't, really.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I don't.
It's a Raymond joke. It up online.
Rayman. Was it Raymond? Oh, there
only
we go.
Scarfo would get it, so.
Okay, so for you, you get this. There you go. Okay. So that was the one. Okay. That was checkers. And that is good because Mike got that right. And this one is you, Ryan. And I tell you, I bet you've played this game before. A strategic board game produced by Parker Brothers, now a division of Hasbro. It was invented by a French film director, Albert Lemerice, and originally released in 1957. A turn-based game, I don't want to say the next thing, I didn't edit it correctly, a turn-based game for 2 to 6 players. The standard version is played on a board depicting a political map of the Earth, divided into 42 territories, which are grouped into 6 continents. The primary object of the game is world domination. Do you have
an answer? Done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. There's more, but I stopped reading because I want to. There's a lot of interesting information about this game.
Is it Risk?
Is it Risk? Is that what it is? Is it Risk? It's Risk. It is.
You guys just took a really manly game about war and gated it up. Way to go.
It's Risk. There's more in this. It's let's see. It says players control the armies, which they can attempt to capture territories. The first player, then it's the first. Each player first counts out the number of infantry and blah 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 blah. So nobody cares.
You know, I was gonna say, it's either that or Axis and Allies was a version of that. Didn't they have like 20 versions of the same game?
Oh, of Risk? I don't know. I never played it because I had a girlfriend at that age. Moving on. Yes, I was playing Dungeons and Dragons till I was 17 because women didn't like the braces. Anyway, moving on. We're moving on. And of course, the listeners, my brother is actually on. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to my younger brother of 4 years. He turns 41 today. 41 today. 41 today. You know that story? Old guy rocking around. 41 today. 41 today. Woman goes, oh no, he goes, 91 today, 91 today. Old woman, she goes, oh, it's your birthday today. He goes, 91 today, 91 today. She gives her a kiss on the cheek and she goes, happy birthday. She walks away. He goes, 92 today, 92 today, 92. It's an old joke.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And of course, the listeners do have a chance to get in there and figure out if they can guess. And Kim Santo had just made it. I would have said Stratego too on the mobile. Thanks. Yes, because Kim went to the demo and now she's listening. My brother's 44 years ago. No, Chris, you're not 40. He's not 44. I'm 45. He's 41. Anyway, that's why I don't talk to listeners. It's very crazy. All right, Mike, to you. Yes. Ready?
Ready.
A strategy board game which can be played by two, three, four, or six people playing individually or with partners. The aim is to race all one's pieces into the star corner of the opposite side of the board before the opponents do the same. The destination corner is called home.
Tricky.
I got to guess.
That sounds like 17 different games.
Ryan? Any guess?
No clue. Star in the corner. Is it a Jewish star or is it the regular Christian one?
It just says star.
Chinese checkers.
Oh, Chinese checkers. Oh, he got in there with the definite steal. He did it, yes. And if I continue reading, then you get it. Each player has 10 pieces, except in games between two players, where 15 are sometimes used. In Hops Across, the most popular variation, each player starts with a colored piece in one of the 6 points or corners of the star and attempts to race them all home in the opposite corner. Yes, it is Chinese checkers.
If you would have said the pieces move slantways, I would have got it.
Oh, that of course would have counted as the racist Chinese checkers. A Chinese checkers.
Like, that's the one thing growing up I could never figure out was the Chinese home run. Why was that a foul ball?
Yeah, why did it go backwards?
Why did it have to go backwards to be Chinese? Well,
see, I don't know. I grew up in a nice place where people were all treated equally. I didn't have those racist slurs.
Oh, really? You were homeschooled.
I was not.
That ain't right.
No, that ain't right. this is for Ryan. So far, we're tied up, right? No. Mike has one, Ryan has one. I'm terrible at scorekeeping. Here we go, Ryan. This game is played using a plastic grid of lettered dice in which players attempt to find words and sequences of adjacent letters.
It's got to be Boggle.
Is it Boggle? It is Boggle. Is it Boggle? And we're going to.
That ruined many a Saturday night when I was a kid.
I fucking hated Boggle. You know what it is? It's like, it's the same thing with Scrabble. Like, my wife loves fucking Scrabble, and I can't stand it. Can't stand it. Why do you want to make words up? Fucking, like, Kim said life. Yeah, life is made up of a bunch of letters that are linked together.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, she was good right one. On top of things.
Right on top of things. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. Here's what I'm going to do, because it's the last one. I'm going to read the first paragraph, and if you know it, blurt it out. If not, by the time I take an extra long pause, it's up for grabs.
Okay.
Subtitled, Fast Dealing Property, The game is named
Monopoly.
Fuck. That was anticlimactic right there, Zed. So now I got to play this. There we go. Yes. Fast-dealing property trading game. The game was named after an economic concept of domination of a market to a single entity. Players move around the game board, buying and trading properties, developing properties and houses into hotels, and collecting rent from the opponents. The ultimate goal is being to drive them into bankruptcy. Let me tell you about my Monopoly experience. Every single holiday, my sister, brother, and I would convince my father we should play Monopoly tonight. Monopoly's a great game. We love to play in the holidays. We all were gung-ho. An hour and a half later, everyone is in fucking tears. Everybody is wishing they were dead except my father, who's like, you landed on Boardwalk. There's nothing you can do. I got a hotel. That's $2,000. I'm like, I had the fucking purple ones, you know, the Mediterranean Baltic that weren't worth shit. If you put a hotel on them, you got like $5 anyway. It was ridiculous. And everybody was in tears. So that is my Monopoly experience. Monopoly experience, gentlemen?
No, I lose every time because I can't manage money. That's why I'm a comedian.
That's why you have 15 jobs.
Right.
Oh, we used to have 10-minute fights over who was going to be the banker, because that was the person who was always cheating and, you know, taking unlimited withdrawals during the course of the game. Mm. So we did that. A lot of the board game I had when I was a kid, we played a lot of Sorry, a lot of Trouble. You know, those weird popcorn button things they had in the middle that would roll the dice for you, because you weren't allowed to have dice on your own. You might eat them as a kid.
Yeah, see, my father wanted to teach us how exactly cruel life could be, so he'd play Monopoly with us, and apparently, like, Sorry. Actually, Sorry was one of the games we played last time in the first game. There was Sorry, Trivia Pursuit, Scrabble, Dungeons & Dragons, and Chess. So this is interesting about Sorry. Let's see. It was originally a different game. Originally manufactured by Parker Brothers, now by Hasbro, is marketed for 2 to 4 players, aged 6 to adult. The game title comes from the many ways in which a player can negate the progress of another while issuing an apology.
Well, isn't it Parcheesi, really?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever played Parcheesi. I've used it as a reference a bunch of times, but I don't think I've ever played it.
Kind of like Dunkin' Donuts. We talk about it, but nobody ever fucking drinks there. Don't.
I shut up. I do every day.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that explains the 15 jobs. Do you work there, too?
I probably could.
You probably. There's more to come. There's more to come. All right. Now, that was so right now, Mike has 3 and Ryan has 2, because that's the way the game is structured. But now we are going to try to play a game called Adding Insult to Injuries, and I can't seem to find it, son of a bitch. Insult to Injuries. Did I bring it out here? No, I didn't. You would think I would be fine with all these guests. No, that's strong enough. Oh, there we go. Yes, here we go. Insult to Injury. There it is. I knew I'd find it. Now, here's the premise. Insult to injury, adding insult to injury. Given an injury and you have to come up with the insult. Each year, 18,000 people die from an everyday life accident. Not very funny, but it can be. The first victims are children. Okay, the elderly. Getting funnier. But no one is completely safe from a fall, an error in inattention, or so therefore, responsibility, correct behavior, and risk awareness are best ways to avoid accidents at home. That's the disclaimer that I have to say so that people don't pull a fucking jackass and then sue me. Most common domestic injuries are, and I'm going to list the injuries, and these are the insults that I want you to come up with. Falling down a flight of stairs. Falling from beds. Falling from chairs. Stairs and chairs. Slipping, falling, and hitting the head in the back on the... Slipping, falling, and hitting heads and back on bathroom structures and fixtures. Slamming doors on hands and head. Falling from a table, the table breaking. Falling over cabinets knocked over and racks dropping on people.
Wow.
Sharp cans, knives, shattering containers. Children tangling and choking on their own cloths. All right, that's not funny. Falling and tripping down ladders and stools. Stools. Who fucking trips off a stool? So, I will go through them slightly faster. Falling from stairs, falling from beds, falling from chairs, slipping and falling and hitting your head in the bathroom, slamming doors on your hands and heads. Falling from a table or the table breaking, falling over cabinets knocked over and racks dropping on you, sharp cans, knives, shattering containers, falling and tripping from ladders and stools. These are common injuries, people. Common injuries. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. Ryan, you're going to go first, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to give you the injury. And then you have to come up with the insult. And we'll let the audience decide which insult is funnier between Mike and Ryan. Now, I think I'm going to start with falling from bed. So falling from bed will be our first injury. So, Ryan, and it'll be easier so that you kind of point right at me. I've just fallen out of bed. Now, you are there. You're not in bed with me. But I fell out of bed. And as soon as I hit my head on the floor and I'm bleeding, you look at me and say,
"You shouldn't have been eating crackers."
Nice. Mike, I fall out of bed and I hit my head and I'm bleeding. And you say,
"I guess the lights turned on and she saw what you looked like."
Audience, which is better, the crackers or she saw what I looked like? there's like a 10-second delay, so this is anticlimactic at best. Oh, they don't want to say anything. Where are they? Actually, I like the crackers in bed. It was quicker. He had to go first. Bing. So Ryan gets that. Ryan gets our first point. Let's see. I'm going to give you a ding, ding, ding. There you go. All right. That's the first one.
I gave you the first one, Gartley. I'm going easy on you.
Okay. All right.
That's another injury.
You went easy on him. All right. Now, Mike.
Yes.
I just fell off a chair. Where is it? I'm opening a can of tuna and I slice my hand open. I'm bleeding. I look at you and say, "Take me to the hospital." And you say,
I'm just laughing that happened to you right now. I can't even think of anything.
It actually did happen. No. So I'll start again. Where is it? I just had it. Yes. I cut my hand open on a can of tuna and I'm bleeding. And you are not sympathetic to me whatsoever. And you tell me,
"Sorry, Charlie, but you're an idiot."
Nice. Sorry, Charlie. Ryan, top that one.
Try to open a can of whoop ass and cut yourself on the lip.
Oh, nice.
Not bad, Gartley.
I like the "sorry, Charlie," but the whoop ass is actually very nice as well. I don't know. Let's see. Well, the listeners went with what I went with. Crackers was the first one. I don't know. The whoop ass is good. Whoop ass is good, but the "sorry, Charlie" kind of, it's a topical.
How old's your audience?
Their demographics about my age, 40s.
Well, then it's going to go "sorry, Charlie." Yeah.
I guess we're ordering Chinese. I'm allergic to fish. Yeah, I like Charlie too. Charlie it is. Yeah, so Ryan got his points on that. So, Ryan, you have 4 for some mysterious reason. Did I know?
That was my win.
That new math I've heard.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm the worst scorekeeper ever. I go so slow, you would think I'd be able to figure this out.
I would have gotten my degree quicker if you were doing my grades.
I should have. I just should have. I would do that. All right, Ryan. Let's see. I'm mad at you. We're roommates. Right? We're roommates, and I'm mad at you. And I slam the door, and I slam my hand in the door. I open the door. You're standing in the doorway, and you say to me,
"Caught in a pinch."
Caught in a pinch. And Mike?
Okay. Are you going to say it again, or you want me to just say one?
Oh, okay, fine. I'll just set you up again.
Sure. Buy some time.
Yes. Come on. We're roommates. We get in a fight. I slam the door. I catch my hand in it. I open up. You're in the doorway. You look at me and say,
"Oh, how about
trick or treat?"
I had something about catching your dick in there, but I couldn't get it out quick enough.
Couldn't get his... Well, what was it?
I can't even get the wording out. That was horrible.
It looks like caught in a pinch. Caught in a pinch. Caught in a pinch.
But you get to win it, Gartley. You
suck. If it's caught in a pinch or nothing, I could still lose this sucker. Right?
That's going to leave a mark. Ah, my sister was funny. That's going to leave a mark. That's funny.
Caught in a jam.
Caught in a jam. That's a good one.
Trick or treat.
Told you I hate Jehovah's. Well, you know something.
Something hinges on you.
Oh, there we go. That's better. I'll let that one go. There we go. We're all tied up now. Thank God. There we go. All right. And since we're going to end on a tie, here's what we're going to do. Now we're going to move on to one of my favorite games. If you can't say something nice, and where are you? Where are you? Let's see. Oh, here we go. And the intro is...
If you can't say something nice...
You warthog-faced buffoon.
Don't say nothing at all.
That's right. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing.
So wait, was that Bambi?
What? That
if you can't say something nice, that's Thumper from Bambi. See, I have a 4-year-old.
Here we go. Oh, my God. He's getting that, too.
Now, I have the mind of a 4-year-old, so I should have
known. Here we go.
And the other one, wasn't it Cary Elwes in...
In
Jesus. Oh God, I know the movie.
You warthog face buffoon. Come on. Come on.
Shit.
Have fun storing the castle.
Do we have to do the kissing part?
It's
Mike,
do you know who did it? As you wish.
Princess Bride.
It is Princess Bride. That was Wesley.
I just couldn't
Kim Santos is in the, she's on her like iPhone with headphones and all she does is type shit in. I swear to God, I don't even think she has a job. I really don't. She just, you think I fucking waste a day. She's just unbelievable. But she killed the games last week. So this game, this is an intro where you actually don't say something nice. You actually insult somebody. And since Ryan was last to go, we tied up. But Ryan was last to go, but Ryan has to go first in this particular game. And here's how it's going to get interesting. We have 10 clips. And each clip is from a different movie. I'm going to make it difficult. You have to name the movie, not the actor, not the character, the movie.
The movie.
Movie. So this is how it's going to work. I play the clip once, you get a guess. If you don't want to guess, I play the clip again. After the second guess, you then have to have a guess. I count to 3. If you have no guess, your competitor. Your competition gets to blurt out a guest. Gentlemen, understand the rules?
Sure, why not?
All right,
and
Mike.
If no one's figured it out by then, we will have alternating sack races.
Yes. and then we have to do this. Oh, Kim's on the tee doing this. Well, she's got plenty of time because that thing moves lightning fast. We could be over the show by then. All right, so first one goes to Ryan.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
Predator.
That's Predator. That is correct. Yes. There we go. Mike, speed round.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
Oh, Mike.
Mike, I will play it again.
Mike.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
Darkness?
What is it?
Was it Army of Darkness?
It is Army of Darkness. That's all tied up again.
I picture him in my head and I'm going, I know this.
This one's tough. Ryan.
No, you're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
That's one. Here we go.
No, you're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
I need a guess, Ryan.
God, it sounds like a blind date. No, I got no clue.
Nothing? Mike?
Yeah, no, I don't think I got nothing.
No, you're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
Wait. Oh my God, that's the Matrix.
It is not the Matrix. That is Roddy Piper in the movie They Live.
They Live.
Oh,
that's it. So Ryan gets nothing, and so no points scored at all. There we go. This one, and let's see. That was Ryan's. Yes.
Right.
All right. Now, this is now Mike's.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face. Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
That's one of the greatest movies ever. That's Uncle Buck.
It is Uncle Buck. It is. Yes, it is. That was Mike has got six and Ryan's got five. Here you go, Ryan.
I go with you,
Buck. I know. There's a problem with your face.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I go with you, Buck.
I know. There's a problem with your face.
Ryan?
Big Trouble in Little China.
It is Big Trouble in Little China. It is.
Sick movie.
Fantastic. Fucking classic movie. That's a nice night, Jack Fenton. That was me. That was not a soundbite, by the way. This one's going to be tough, Mike, but you might get this. You might have it.
You're incapable of running this shit. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
Dude.
You're incapable of running this shit. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
That is one of my all-time favorite movies, New Jack City, baby.
It is New Jack City. It is. Oh, unbelievable. Look at this. The score is just racking, racking, and racking. Here we go. Ryan.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
Oh, I know I've seen it, but I have no clue.
Oh, dude. Kidding me?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
It sounds like Oliver Platt.
It is not. It is not. So you get this.
Okay, simple wrong would have been fine, but okay. Yeah. Billy Madison.
It is Billy Madison. That is a steal from Mike.
Yeah.
A steal from Mike. Unbelievable. Here you go.
Sure, the guy without a day job.
Yeah.
You got a day job and two kids. I have nothing to do.
I could have played cartoons. Here we go, Mike.
Look up idiot in the dictionary. You know what you'll find?
A picture of me?
No. The definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
This one's tough.
Look up idiot in the dictionary. You know what you'll find?
A picture of me?
No. The definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
Mike? Ryan, you absolutely need this. Nothing? Ryan?
I gotta say, see no evil, hear no evil. It sounds like Gene Wilder, but probably not.
Now, if you listen close, you'll know who they are. I'll play it one more time.
Idiot in the dictionary. You know what you'll find?
A picture of me?
No! The definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
Dude, that's the kiss-kiss fucking...
Kiss-kiss, bang-bang.
Yes, that's what it
with
is.
With Val Kilmer and...
Downey Jr.
Look up idiot.
You can hear him right there.
A picture of me?
That's what gave it away is when
the definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
There you go. Now, that was...
That was nobody because we kind of gave up.
That was nobody, but it was Mike's turn.
Yes.
All right, Ryan, this is you.
It's unbelievable. Who put the fucking cameras in this place?
Oh, who the fuck are you?
I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
Play it again.
It's Mark Wahlberg.
In this place? Oh, who the fuck are you? I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
Ryan?
Oh, that's recent. Shit.
It is.
I don't know.
Nothing?
I don't know.
Mike?
Sure.
Oh, dude, that's The Departed, baby.
Yeah, shit.
It is The Departed. Ryan has been systematically eliminated. So, but the last one goes to Mike.
Okay.
Actually, throw it up for grabs. Here we go.
Maybe you don't remember me. My name is
Maybe
Benny.
Maybe I don't give a shit. Maybe I don't remember the last time I blew my nose either.
Playing it again.
Maybe you don't remember me. My name is
Maybe
Benny.
Maybe I don't give a shit. Maybe I don't remember the last time I blew my nose either.
Mike?
Oh, that's mafia movie. I think it's Carlito's Way.
When I'm right, I'm right. And when I'm wrong, I could have been right. So I'm still right because I could have been wrong.
That is right. Which gives Mike a total of 10 against Ryan's 6.
Oh, it hurts.
If you can't say something nice.
You warthog-faced buffoon.
Don't say nothing at all.
That's been our game. And that means that Mike Katrobas is the winner of this week's game play. And a round of applause for Mike. Yes, he did it because Ryan, he's got two kids and an MBA, and he got enough time for this shit. You don't have time to watch fucking TV.
I'm busy counting Mike's money.
He's counting Mike's money and saying, how many jobs do you have, you chilling bastard? What's going on? So I'm going to retabulate scores just to make sure that I didn't do anything completely insane and idiotic. And when we come back, we're going to hear from our last bit we're going to come back and talk to our comics and have the final best gig, worst gig story, which I completely love. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia.
Love food and wine? Take a Salem Food Tour and discover a delicious way to walk through history. Salem Food Tours are guided walking tours of historic Salem, Massachusetts. They are the perfect way to explore the downtown and waterfront areas while enjoying tastings at some of Salem's best food shops and restaurants. Enjoy talks with chefs and fellow food lovers while learning all about our illustrious maritime spice trades and more. With today's culinary renaissance, locals and visitors agree Salem is truly a delicious place to explore. To get information on our year-round tours or to buy tickets or gift certificates, visit SalemFoodTours.com.
Hi there, this is Cheryl Fay, and you're listening to Radio Irregardless with my friend Mark Scalia.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And we're back at Radio Irregardless. Yes, my math was completely in error, and Ryan actually had 1,700 points, but unfortunately, Mike had 1,712. So Ryan is still a loser of the game, just of the games, of the games. He's not a loser. Let's not get all crazy. I don't want any fucking emails and shit like that about Ryan Gartley. You know. But then again, you can just Google him and go to his house and apologize for me. So,
that's a good point.
It's a good point. So, and now we come to the point of the show, which I adore. I love this part where I get to talk to comics just about their best gig and the worst gig. And a lot of the other shows, the comics are like, oh, I wish we had more time to kind of banter. And I'm like, yeah, this is the time we can do it. Let's throw some shit out there. And let's see, because Ryan lost. We're going to start with Ryan. That's what we're going to do. Because actually we could... Because Ryan's probably got more good gigs than bad gigs. I don't know, but we'll see. So as always, we start with the best gig because the worst gig is always a better story. Ryan, best gig, and then we'll go to Mike for best gig. Best gig can be anything, your most memorable gig, the gig you have the most amount of fun, you know, anything special. Go, tell the audience, tell me.
No, I got to say, probably the one that sticks out the most was my honeymoon. We went out, we did half.
Best, worst stand-up ever.
No, I didn't have to stand up very often.
It was, hey, now.
No, we did half the honeymoon in California, the other half in Vegas. In Vegas, I went to see one of the acts out there. He's a Boston comic who moved out west, and in his show, pulled me out of the crowd.
His initials aren't
10 minutes.
His initials aren't VF, are they?
Yes, they are. Oh, I've heard many bad things about him. I got nothing bad to say about the guy. He gave me time on the strip in Vegas on my honeymoon to perform for his audience, and I will be forever grateful for that. That was fantastic.
Was that the pirate? What's the pirate one?
No, he was at the Irish one.
Oh, he's at a different club.
Yeah, he moves around, you know, because sometimes the checks don't clear.
Yeah, well, it's Vegas. It's still kind of, there is a little bit of a broken nose element still floating around in Vegas, so the checks don't clear. So you do 10 minutes in a Vegas audience because it was your honeymoon, and you said, hey, I know you. How did that come about? Did you introduce yourself? Did you know him before from here?
I had never met him before, but he, in his act, he likes to, he'll pick apart the crowd. So he'll say, what's your name? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And I'm wearing a Red Sox jersey, so immediately I know he's coming to me last.
Yeah.
Because he knows I'm that guy. I'm from back home, and he can have a lot of fun. And he was not expecting me to say I was a comic. So as soon as I said it, he got me on stage and introduced himself, and we took off from there. It was pretty cool.
Did you pair up? Did you do the whole...
I started to make a mistake. I started to talk about Last Call, and they don't have that in Vegas.
No.
So it's one of those, you know, quick right turn and move on to a different joke. And it was thankfully, I had my wife in the audience, so I had plenty of wife jokes.
Cool. All right. Comedy in Vegas on his honeymoon. Guest spot. Mike, best comedy gig ever.
You know, I'd have to say it's the one that just happened back in October. Me and a couple of the guys went to the Marshall Islands to perform for some civilian contractors and some military.
You were with what, Kyle Crawford and Steve Scarfo?
Yeah, Scarfo and Gary Cowett.
Oh, Gary Cowett.
Yep. And it was just the experience alone. I mean, 20-something hours in a plane. The time is like 18 hours ahead, so it's like tomorrow night there right now. And it was just amazing. We did three shows on two different islands, and the people were so grateful, and it was an amazing experience.
Not to, you know, step on a punchline, but that's a long way to go for a punchline.
Yeah, you're right. It really is. But you know what? I guess I'll toot the horn a little bit. You know, it was financially worth it, and experience wise, to hang out with a couple of buddies for, you know, 7 days that I actually didn't want to kill, totally worth it.
Because, you know, Ryan did 10 minutes and wanted to kill himself after that in Vegas. Yeah.
No, I spent 20 hours on a plane with Scarfo. That was pretty rough.
Oh, I got another Steve Scarfo story. And we'll go to worst gig ever, since we got Mike still on the side. Worst gig ever.
You know, I guess the one that's...
I was on a plane for 20 hours doing three shows.
No, they said, right? No. You know what? It's the one that stands out the most. Might not be the worst one, but it was it was up in Maine. I can't remember the town, but it was like one of those little clam shack type places. There were picnic tables on the lawn, and we were on a stage that was like the back of a trailer that they put hay bales in front of. It was at 6 o'clock at night. Families were sitting at the picnic table.
I did that gig.
Yeah, and in the background you can hear order number 72, your clam fries are ready.
Yep.
You know? And when you're on the stage, there's umbrellas on the picnic tables, so you can't see the people.
Right.
So we actually stood in front of the stage. It was just miserable.
It was a Rubenstein gig, and it's near it's on 101 somewhere, right? Yes. Yep, I told you, I knew exactly where it is.
It was just that's when you sit there and go, really?
Yes.
Am I that desperate for gigs?
Well, I had a bad gig this weekend, but I won't tell you. It's probably for the same guy. After 3 minutes on stage, I'm thinking about it going, I do not need to fucking do this. You have those moments where you're like, I always thought I was better than this, or funnier than this, or I could do more than this. And all of a sudden, you're like, it's really not worth the money. I could walk away right now and just fucking call it even. It would just right. Do it. Ryan, worst gig ever.
Same booking agent. Northern New Hampshire.
Rent-A-Wreck? Is that the name?
Oh, gosh.
It's
Northern New Hampshire.
I've rented that car before. 10
p.m. start time. It's a two-man show, so it's me and the important guy.
Okay.
The important guy's running late because, you know, he's only got one leg.
Oh, God.
I get into the room. There's four people. And they're all at different tables.
Of course they are.
I'm begging the manager to give these people their $7 back so we can all just go home and pretend it never happened. He says, no, no, no. The headliner's coming. I just need you to, you know, entertain him until he shows up.
Okay. Just buy some time.
I spend 10 minutes putting them all at one table. and the next 25 eating my own dick for four people.
That's awesome.
The headliner gets there. I introduce him immediately, which was hilarious for me. I get off stage. He's 2 minutes in, and one of these four assholes starts to heckle.
Oh,
at that point, I mean, I was my whole time on stage, I'm thinking, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. This guy starts to heckle. I sit down. I have increased the audience by 20%, and I'm the only one laughing for the next half hour.
How did the headliner handle
from
it?
From that point on.
How did the headliner do?
he gave up. He got the heckler on stage. He loves telling the story, so it's Tom Hayes.
Yeah, I know it's Tom.
So Tom gets up on stage. The guy starts heckling. Tom gives him the microphone and sits down. He's tired. And he asks the guy questions. He just prompts him with street jokes and whatnot for half an hour.
Really?
Finally, the heckler gets so tired. He's done. He hands the mic back. He gives up. He surrenders, puts up the white flag. Tom gets up, opens his little briefcase, pulls out a mini DVD player, puts in his own disc, and puts the microphone on the speaker and says, this is what you would have heard over the last half hour.
That's brilliant.
You guys gave a shit. He hits the play button, and he clomps off stage.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
I am losing it. That was fantastic.
Oh, my God. I would have lost my shit.
Ever.
So that's your worst gig, but Tom Hayes' best gig. That's great.
And everyone got paid.
Everybody. Of course they did. Of course they did. Great stories. I love shooting and shit with you guys. Hey, before we cut to break, I gave your websites out at RyanGartley.com, and it's MikeKComic.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And guys, they can find you through Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Ryan, you got a Twitter account? What's your Twitter thing?
I think it's at Gartism347.
Gartism347. I'll let my wife type that because I can't do that. She types very much faster than I. And Mike, what is your Twitter feed? If somebody friends you on your websites, they can find all that stuff as well, too, right?
Yeah, it's all on there. I'm at MK Comic.
MK Comic. And that's the Twitter feed. And we can do the Facebook thing and the email. So, yeah, guys, definitely patronize my guests. You know, go see them. They're doing a lot of stuff. And where are you guys this weekend?
Actually, I'll take this one. We're together this weekend, Friday night, UMass Lowell Inn and Conference Center Friday night. And then I'm in Manchester Saturday night.
Oh, shit. That works out nice. Good for you guys. And are you working Saturday night, Ryan?
Yep, I'm actually doing a comedy fundraiser for the Hudson Rec Department in Hudson, New Hampshire, Saturday night.
Unbelievable. So if you guys are in the area, so please definitely go check these guys out. And they have video clips on YouTube, and just get some samples of what they are, because these two guys, although they're not overly good at guessing movies or figuring out board games, they are extremely funny on stage, and I love both these guys. And when we come back, we're going to close out. Oh, wait a minute. No, there is no more close. That's our last thing. Oh, shit. Oh, I was like, I was reading my own show prep. I was like, what the fuck is happening? And as far as where I'm going to be this weekend, I'm not. I got a weekend off, which I was kind of bummed out. And then I'm like, fuck it. I'm kind of glad I got the weekend. I got the whole weekend off. Like, I literally was going to just book a flight to fucking Florida and get the hell out of Dodge. And I was like, I can't. I got to prep for a colonoscopy next week. And I don't want to be in a plane.
Study hard for that one.
Sit in the bathroom, practice making faces.
I'm gonna drink that stuff. I don't actually mind the stuff. It's not a bad thing. I'll just drink whatever is needed. I'll do whatever I can. So I want to thank both my guests, Ryan Gartley and Mike Katrobis. Join us next week, where we have two amazing comics. We have Steve Halligan and Steve Scarfo. Email me at radioirregardless@gmail.com, Mark at marcuscilio.com. And thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week.
This has been Radio Irregardless, hosted by Mark Scalia, your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoy. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia and broadcast live from Salem, Massachusetts via Mixlr.com. I'd like to thank my on-air guests, courtesy of Skype, and all the online listeners for their comments. The Radio Irregardless theme music, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All material and content, property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2013. Thank you for listening.
And finally, anyone who uses the terms irregardless, a whole nother, or all of the sudden shall be sent to a work camp.